I think this is recording, yes.
Call this meeting to order. Our usual procedure is we review the minutes, but I don't think we have any. Did anybody get minutes?
I didn't really. I'm not.
So we have no minutes to do. And I don't believe we have any old business. So we'll move right to our first new business, the one and only thing new business, which is appeal number 858, which is an appeal of the zoning administrative determination. And I'm just going to read you the appeal of the discussion. This is a discussion of an appeal filed by Infidu appellant. The substance of the appeal relates to expiration of the conditional approval regarding the site plan for the proposed Saratoga Biochar Solutions SBS project. The Moreau Planning Board issued a conditional approval of the site plan on August 25, 2022. The determination made by the zoning administrator holds that the one-year period to undertake actual construction, as cited in the regulation, does not start until the conditions of the approval are fulfilled. The appellant is asserting the determination issued by the zoning administrator regarding Town Code 149-44.1 is erroneous. Okay. Now, just by introduction, and there are no minutes, is that right?
That's correct.
Just by way of introduction, we have a large crowd here now that we're used to. And we welcome you because these are public meetings. This is our regular meeting for the month of November. We were just discussing the fact that it seems like November's meeting always comes right before Thanksgiving. But we often have meetings. We haven't had a meeting in a few months. And usually we change the date that the previous meeting, but we haven't done that because we didn't have a meeting. So this is our regular meeting, and we wanted to make sure that we allowed the applicant the courtesy to be heard. We have one item on tonight's agenda, the October 10th, 2023 appeal by Ann Perdue of the August 1, 2023 determination of the zoning administrator regarding his interpretation of Town Code Section 149-44.1. She'll be allowed to speak, and the board will discuss, and if appropriate at this time, set a public hearing. Okay, this is not a public hearing, and no public comment will be allowed. I notice there's a lot of folks here. In order for the board here, the zoning board, to properly perform its duties, it's imperative that we do so without interruption from the crowd. To the extent possible, please refrain from any outbursts of clapping or even talking amongst yourselves if it interrupts the meeting, okay? We need you to be courteous and follow these simple instructions. If we're unable to do so, if we're unable to continue, after a warning, we're gonna ask you to leave, because that's just, we need to be able to conduct our business. Don't want to do this, but we'll try to finish our business, okay? The first thing we need to do is hear from the person who's doing the appeal.
Thank you, I'm Ann Perdue.
Okay.
And I think my address is 11 McCrory Way.
Okay.
I'm a planning board member, but more importantly, I'm one of your neighbors. I'm really sorry you're here on Thanksgiving Eve. I think most of us would rather be home with our families. The matter of my appeal, the determination of Jim, that the time period for Saratoga Biochar mass construction would not begin until it receives its DEC permits, never should have arisen in the first place. My appeal sets out in detail the concerns raised by Jim's interpretation of the code section 149-44.1. His interpretation was provided at the request of Saratoga Biochar's attorney with the concurrence of the town attorney and adopts the interpretation offered by Biochar attorneys. On reviewing it, I found the interpretation to be without merit, a complete distortion of the code. And I communicated my concerns to the zoning administrator and the town attorney, but they've not offered to discuss those concerns with me. Another attorney who recently reviewed the interpretation called it an extraordinarily tortured analysis and without legal support. You do not need to be an attorney to understand the town code. This provision is very clear, but apparently you need a bunch of attorneys to fabricate the fiction that we're looking at tonight. The language of the code is clear and unambiguous. It states, final approval shall expire 1 year after the date of the approval of the site plan if actual construction has not begun. The purpose of the code is also very clear. If a site plan approval expires, the applicant may apply to the planning board for an extension. At that time, the planning board has the opportunity to review the project in light of the changes since the final site plan approval a year prior. There's no reason to interject additional language as Biochar and zoning administrator have. There's no basis for implying that DEC permit conditions contained in a final site plan approval defer commencement of the 1 year period to start construction. Absolutely none. The notion of a conditional final site plan approval in the context of the code is a complete fiction. The term does not exist. With regard to, the planning board adopted a resolution expressly approving the Biochar site plan as a final site plan in accordance with Town Code Section 149-43. Neither the DEC permit conditions or any other conditions cited in the resolution impact the status of that approval as final. Biochar and the zoning administrator suggest the approval is conditional by reference to another code section that pertains to preliminary site plan approval. That code section provides that the planning board might give conditional approval to a preliminary site plan. If that happens, the applicant must still come back to the planning board for final site plan approval. So this section has absolutely no relevance to Biochar's final site plan approval. If the time to construct doesn't commence until the project applicant obtains its permits, limitation is rendered meaningless. If the applicant never obtains its permits, the site plan approval is forever. The purpose of the code to allow the planning board to reassess the project in view of changed circumstances is defeated. The absurdity of the interpretation is highlighted by a further suggestion by the zoning administrator in Biochar that the time period to commence construction does not begin to run until the planning board has signed the project site plan mylars. Again, there's no such provision in the code. In fact, the planning board has been extremely diligent in signing mylars when they've been presented by applicants. In the case of Biochar, the applicant has not yet submitted mylars. More than a year after final site plan approval, they have provided nothing to sign. The delay is inexplicable. In my experience, this delay is unheard of, and it has to make you wonder what's going on with this project. What's happening? As this meeting has not been called a public meeting, it's not clear to me, it's not clear to me what the zoning board can do this evening. However, I think the remedy I'm seeking is not radical. It's simply compliance with the town code. With regard to the interpretation of the code, I seek a determination that the time to construct commences as a final site approval, notwithstanding conditions that the planning board might impose at the time of approval. It happens all the time. This interpretation should apply not only in the case of Saratoga Biochar, but any other applicant. With regard to the status of Biochar project, I seek a determination that its final site plan approval expired August 22nd, 2023, 1 year after the planning board adopted the final plan site plan approval. The applicant needs to return to the planning board for further consideration of its project. If the zoning board is unable to make a determination tonight, I ask that it set a public hearing on the matter at a date in January to avoid disrupting the holidays any further. I also need to note that I saw in the Chronicle today, this week's Chronicle, that Mr. Abbey has threatened a massive lawsuit if the planning board's site plan approval is undone, which will cost the taxpayers a hell of a lot of money. Let's be clear about this. The town should not fear lawsuits arising from actions it takes within the scope of its lawful authority, nor should the town be threatened for taking those actions. If the zoning board grants the relief that I'm asking for, you act within your lawful authority. So please don't be intimidated, don't be duped, just do the right thing. So I ask if you have any questions, again, I want to thank you for being here and hearing me out, but if you also have any questions, I'd like to be able to answer.
Any questions from the board? Now, we have our basic purpose tonight is to make sure to decide whether this appeal can be heard by us, whether we have jurisdiction, whether we can hear it, and then if we can, then to set a public hearing. As I understand it, there are a couple questions our legal counsel has brought up, and I just would like to hear in terms of, especially in terms of the standing of the applicant to challenge this. So, could you explain what we're talking about in terms of standing?
Sure. The question was posed whether or not the applicant had standing to bring this appeal, and I conducted research and reviewed it and presented a memo to the board, an attorney-client memo to the board, with respect to standing. Standing is a legal determination, and it is, any attorney knows it, they know the Sunbright case, and ultimately to have standing, you need to be an aggrieved party. Your own code and the town law and the appellate division and the Court of Appeals all say that. You need to have be within the proximity, and you need to allege special damages. In this case, reviewing this, the applicant does not meet standing for a couple reasons. First of all, her location, her home, is not within the 500 feet that normally the courts look at for standing. It's a few miles away. Secondly, nowhere in the appeal was there any allegation of special damages. In fact, the appeal specifically states that it's being brought to help the planning board move forward in determinations. And the third is that there has been no actual portion of the appeal that says that she's within the zone of interest. And that's a term of art, a term of legal art, zone of interest in the Sunbright case. So ultimately, the research bears out that the applicant in this, at least the applicant tonight, does not have standing. That's not to say no one would ever have standing in this case. Mm-hmm. There are multiple individuals that would have standing in this case, but that's not what's before you tonight.
As to the matter of the zoning administrator's interpretation, can you elaborate on your concerns or your specific issue?
Okay.
Because to me, it seems like what's really at issue is the idea of, are we talking about a preliminary approval or are we talking about a final approval?
There was a...
And I think that there's an implication, as there often is, I'm not an attorney, clearly, but there's a lot of room for interpretation in the law. That's why we have judges. And I will go on record as saying I don't like Mr. Abbey's conduct. I don't like his comments. I don't like the way he's going about this. But that's not my job to bring in my personal feelings. My job is to look at the law, to look at the processes that the town has undertaken to get us to this point. And I think that the town has done an exceedingly good job in following the letter of the law. And that's my problem with your appeal. I find that it's... just because we don't like the answer doesn't mean that there's something untoward or we haven't been in compliance with the law.
Yeah, and I hope you don't infer that I'm trying to make a
Please speak.
I need to. Again, I am trying to comply with the code. I am an attorney. I'm not the town attorney. I'm not the planning board attorney. I can read the code. The code is very simple on this point, and it has a very good purpose. And that purpose is that you don't issue a final site plan approval that is forever. It has to have a definable time limit so that it comes back to the planning board as necessary to see what has happened in the meantime. It's a relatively recent change in law. It was one that was promoted by numerous members of the planning board in concept because we were presented frequently with a situation where we had a site plan that was 20 years old. and if it was being developed or something, we could do about it. So a one-year limitation was put in place with the idea that if a final site plan approval was given, that the applicant had a reasonable period of time, in this case 1 year, to start actual construction. The notion being that if they start actual construction, well, then they've really made an investment in this. They're ready to go forward. Nothing's happened in this case. It's been more than a year. So the language is very clear. It's not a question of just not liking the outcome, Justin. Okay. It's really about seeing that the town code is being complied with and that the planning board has that opportunity to review the project as it is entitled to do. That the zoning administrator and the town attorney can unilaterally come up with some distortion, come up with an interpretation of some space.
And that's what I just want to be clear. I'm not sure what the distortion is.
The distortion is that the time period does not begin to run until they have, one, their DEC permits, and that they've submitted Mylars for the planning board to sign.
But I think my interpretation of this entire situation really can be distilled down to one simple fact. This is a preliminary approval.
No, it was a final site plan approval.
Where is it stated that
it's in the resolution itself that was adopted by the planning board?
It's a final approval with conditions, and it was 10 pages. And with respect to the law, and I'm not going to speak to Ms. Purdue tonight because that's, you know, I'm speaking to you.
Can I
drafted the law that we're talking about today. Right. So I just want to prove that.
And if I might finish.
I was responding to Mr. Farrell, that's all.
The resolution that was adopted by the planning board specifically refers to it as a final site plan approval and to the code section that is relevant to final site plan approval. The zoning administrator, Carla, and Biochar are trying to pull in some language from a preliminary site plan section that has no relevance at all to this. In fact, if it had applied, they would be required to still come back to the planning board with a final site plan. So they're kind of mixing up code sections.
I appreciate that. I don't want to speak for the rest of these folks, but I would ask you, if you were the applicant, would you commence production or a construction without the final approvals of the DEC? I wouldn't put a shovel in the ground.
I would have come back to the planning board before the 1 year expiration and discuss the matter and got a resolution from the planning board.
The truth of the matter is that, you know,
they came a month early before the expiration, so they actually requested from the zoning and they asked, what do we have to do? We're coming up on our 1 year. And they were given a response that was, it was conditional approval. You haven't met all the conditions. And there's oftentimes extensions because there's many things going on.
But
the
DEC, you know,
county permits. But the planning board did not grant that extension.
Oh, I understand.
You're right.
There's lots of things. They did actually do that.
But they didn't get it from the planning board. I get that. But I also, and we're getting a little bit far afield here. Because the real question here is not the substance of this appeal.
Right.
Because that's really for a public hearing. But as I read that resolution clearly states the construction cannot begin until these conditions are met.
That's
a question that we can debate all day, but that's not the issue here.
No. There's just one item I want to correct with the zoning administrator that was put on the record, and I think it's flatly incorrect, that I interjected the term approval. And I'm reading from the actual resolution as approved by the planning board on the night of the approval. Now, therefore, be resolved that the planning board does hereby grant site plan approval to the applicant for the proposed project as applied for and as depicted in the site plan application materials for the subject property, conditioned upon compliance with the following.
Yep. So now, that's not a final.
It has been long accepted practice in this municipality, as well as every municipality in this county, that the date of final approvals do not commence until the signatures are on the final site plan and dated.
Mm-hmm.
That is the date from which all, beyond just this conditional approval, will run. The county will look for that. If it's a subdivision, when was the plat signed? It has to be filed with the county, recording the parcels with the county. The county looks at the date of the signed plat, and they count those days backwards. They don't look from the date of the approval of the resolution.
And
the other thing to bear in mind here about this project can't go forward, nor any other project of its type could go forward until those conditions are met. In other words, they can't build without a DEC permit. If they never get it, the project will never even see the light of day, much less come in here for a signature by the planning board. So it's a moot point. The project is defeated.
And it's spelled out in the resolution.
And this resolution is very specific. I broke it down. I think there are 25 conditions in this approval that have to be met. I've recorded them on a spreadsheet as a tracking sheet. So when the planning board members do come in to review the plan set, they'll have these on the ready to see that their conditions have been met. The plat will be signed, the plans will be signed, and then the time clock starts. But it is not a final approval in the term of the law until the plat is signed.
And Jim, if that is the case, if that's not final approval, then we didn't meet our deadline to give final approval to this plant project. I mean, basically, you guys are weaving a strange story here that contorts the code.
No, I don't think it's contorted at all. I think it's quite clear.
I saw a counsel from a respected attorney who has expertise in this as well, not our town attorney, because there's clearly a conflict of interest. And this person confirmed what Jim just said to me, that this is commonly accepted practice with respect to approvals, preliminary and final.
The other thing I will say,
the idea of conditions, and the word interjected is not.
But to the chairman's point, we're debating the.
That's right. 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 You need to get back to the.
We don't need to get to our main objective.
Yeah, we should. We shouldn't really be talking too much about the substance of this appeal until we decide
if it can be.
With all due respect to the town attorney, I posted my appeal quite some time ago, and I think they were aware that I was going to. And this is the first I'm hearing any sort of discussion of my lack of standing. Okay. Frankly, I think I am an aggrieved person. I think the standards you're citing sound more like a seeker, and they're not necessarily appropriate. I haven't done the research to determine where that is all coming from. But with all due respect, Carl, that's the kind of thing, if it were an issue, you could have raised it a month ago. So that I find to be very disconcerting. It makes me wonder, to what length do we go to create a special exception? And I do think, sir, it is a special exception for biochar.
That is a flatly incorrect statement, and I can take you through numerous approvals in the 6 years I've been here that countered that. That is being said for the benefit of this one, this one challenge. The realities of the approvals that go on here month after month after month that have not been such in the public eye would counter that completely. That is flatly incorrect.
And as a long-term member of this board, I can tell you that we're very cautious about what our responsibility is and to see to it that we do it properly. And we have been brought up on, what was it, 78?
Article 78.
Yeah, Article 78, and went through to the Supreme Court and won. Why? Why? Because we follow the rules. So we would never do anything that I take offense to the statements that we're being pressured or that we're doing anything. No, we're looking at this from a very open mind by what our rules are, what we can do, what we can't do, what our role is as a zoning board, and our decision will be made based completely off that. It will have no personal, what I personally think doesn't really matter. It has to be.
Nor what I think.
Yeah, it has to be.
I mean, no offense to any of you.
So it has to be done, and we've done that for many, many years.
Well, we're not, the point is that we're, we have two different decisions to make. One tonight, one is whether you have standing, whether we should proceed with this and schedule a public hearing. And then most of what we've discussed tonight is really subject to the public hearing. Right. And whether or not we think biochar is a good idea, it doesn't matter for either one of those decisions. So this is a question is really about
I have something that Ms. Perdue may appreciate. Understanding that she's requesting a public hearing in January, and to make certain that she has the opportunity to understand the standing argument, which is not just seeker, what if the board allows her to provide her position on her individual standing, not as a planning board member? And Anne, that was one of the reasons I asked you whether you were appealing as a member of the planning board or as an individual, and you specifically stated an individual.
I said I was not appealing on behalf of the planning board.
You were, right.
I said I was appealing as an individual
exactly.
planning board member and as a resident.
Exactly.
So my thought. And that was clearly to us.
Right. Yeah. And so my thought is, so that Ms. Perdue has the opportunity to go and research and speak to other counsel, which she likely will, to address the standing argument, to give her some time to respond to that, and then maybe come back in January and discuss this. Now, that would kick out a public hearing to February, and I appreciate that, but that is one of the things that way this board can be transparent, mm-hmm. that the office of the Catholic, that my office can not be advise that they're being, I don't know, disingenuous, or that our reputation is being called for, our integrity is being called into question, which it has been throughout this entire process. And this way it allows Ms. Perdue to respond to it. And if the board does determine that they're standing, then there's a public hearing. There's no harm, no foul.
I have no problem. I think that's an excellent idea, is to hold it out until the January meeting. And she can research this and be more knowledgeable about it, and I have no problem with that.
Okay, and I guess I would ask, because again, I've asked both Jim and Carla repeatedly since these issues arose in August, to please respond to the concerns I had about the interpretation, and I got no substantive response. I would ask for a written response.
I'm sorry, Anne. The response that we provided, we gave a attorney-client memo to the board. My job, and please don't look at me like that. My job is to advise the board and to defend the town, whether you end up suing the town or Bob ends up suing the town. My job is to make sure the town and this decision is defensible, whether any other attorneys from other law firms agree with that or not. My goal here is to protect the town,
right.
as it has been for the past 30 years.
If you're secure in your opinion,
I am secure in my opinion.
And you folks are secure in that opinion. We're all town officials, we're all residents. That opinion should be shared, so I can respond.
With all due respect, Anne, what they have is exactly what I said to you, that there is a requirement for an aggrieved party. You do not meet that requirement. You now have what they have. I didn't give them the case law.
Exactly.
I didn't give them the codes. I didn't give them anything, but this is what's standing.
I'm asking to know your argument.
I just gave it to you.
She spoke. We basically, I told you what we had heard from the attorney, from ourselves here, and it was repeated. I mean, so that is it.
That is it.
I don't have a problem. Can I? I just want to speak to this just thing about postponing. I don't have a problem with postponing it, but I'm not going to be here in January, so I just want to postpone it.
That's the other thing I
would
say.
So you want to postpone it?
Fine.
The thing I will suggest I will do. In the event that there is some merit to my personally not having standing because I don't live within 500 feet or whatever, or can show proximate harm, I can probably find others who would stand in my place as appellant and would very, very easily qualify as the grieved person.
I think
if you can get beyond the time limit issue as well.
Pardon me? What time limit?
There's a 60-day time limit. And I'm sorry, it's in the code.
They have 60 days, and they also have the right to adjourn.
No, that wrong 60 days.
Okay, I can start all over again.
No, there's 60 days from August 1st.
Okay. No.
Yes, please, Tom, what 267-B?
It's 60 days from October 1st.
No, ma'am, 267-B. Town law, 267-B.
Yeah, it's there.
And as such, I came here tonight under the impression that we really don't have jurisdiction to hear this appeal.
Well, I think
so
we feel that way.
I'm inclined to feel that
way. We all.
I mean, whatever I think personally is not.
not.
It's not relevant.
What the legal standard is what matters.
Exactly.
And by the legal standard, we don't have the ability to.
I don't feel that we do, and I appreciate, in the interest of transparency, postponing this. I don't know, is that anything that's going to change?
That's up to the board.
I agree with Carla giving Ann the opportunity to think about what was said and give Ann the opportunity to respond. That's my opinion. Do I agree tonight that we're going to stand in here? Was no, I do not. But I do believe Ann is due the courtesy to have her due diligence.
Mm-hmm. I'm fine with that. I just think that she has to understand that what Carla's told her tonight is all we have. We have nothing more. There was no more information than that.
We're being asked to follow the town code. For Ann's benefit, we're also asked to follow the town code for our own benefit, so it's pretty cut and dry, it's pretty black.
I think we're basically at the same benefit issue.
Exactly.
I'm not on the other side of you.
No.
But I do read this, frankly, probably say that they'll decide the appeal within 60 days. I don't say it's within 60 days of the determination. You're not looking at the right section. I'm looking at 149.2. Town Law 267-B. That's the statute of limitations. It's 60 days for any determination.
It's a state law.
It's a state law.
Okay. Well, I think that pretty much we agree. You feel you need to be able to research this better.
Yes.
More. Not better, but more. We are willing to give you that time. Am I correct?
Yeah. I don't want you to leave here thinking that she didn't have her due time or have anything.
And I can tell you that nobody has talked to me about this except for the attorney. You know, the communication that I got a few days ago. Mm-hmm. We don't operate that way. Yeah. We really don't.
No.
In fact, we've had many disagreements. In fact, the law about the deadline was for the.
And the other thing I want on the record, just so everybody can hear this, the reason why Ann was aware of the ability to appeal is because I informed her of that.
Okay.
And without me informing her of that, she wouldn't even have known that this is an avenue for it. So, okay.
So
you know,
we're certainly being transparent. We're certainly.
Exactly. Yeah, that's my point.
Just to finish my thought, the law that came about that gives a developer a year to start work was because we bitched about it.
Yes.
I think the planning board did too.
Because we had developments that, like you said, sat on the books for
10 years,
20 years. And then they come in and they want to just start building on it. And that wasn't good.
And I don't want to patronize anybody. Certainly don't want to patronize you. But we have to be careful about suggesting. And I'm not saying you're suggesting impropriety, but we're kind of trending, we're leaning that way a little bit. And all I can tell you is that, from my part, there isn't even a whiff of that in this for me. And I'm a nothing in this, but I want you to know that, and I want everybody in this room to know that. I don't detect even a whiff of impropriety here. In fact, it's the opposite. And I'm not in favor. But it's not about what I think. And I want that on the record that we need to be careful.
Mm-hmm.
And these people are working hard. And I want that reflected.
And sir, Justin, you and I, we're all volunteers in this session, whether planning board or zoning board. Mm-hmm. I don't have a financial interest.
Understood.
It's being a member of your community and feeling like you should be a part of the community. And
help see things done the right way.
Yeah.
I'd like to correct one thing. Jim, I didn't say that you interjected conditional from outside the resolution. It's in the interpretation of the code section itself that the word conditional does not appear. That was the interjection that I was concerned about.
Well, and I understand that, and that's my point. That's why I didn't really see the need to respond to your request for my position, because it's remarkably simple. We don't have a final approval yet. Biochar is not there because their conditions remain unfulfilled. I didn't apply the word condition. The planning board did, And it's their right to do so. They do so all the time, and you do it as well with some of your approvals. But we do not have a final approval. We have an approval with conditions. When the conditions are met, then we have a final approval. The 1 year starts. I can't say it any simpler.
After the blueprints are signed, there's other criteria that needs to be met. The conditions need to be satisfied. The blueprints need to be signed.
And the Mylar signed, and then the time frame starts on the data signature. That's the 1 year clock.
And that's always been the way.
Yes, yeah, and it's the practice of any municipality in this county. It's not unique to us.
No, that's
and the other thing I want to just make sure I say is, you know, people only see, or a lot of residents only see, the zoning administrative process on high profile projects like this that are highly charged, and there's a lot of emotion around them. But I can tell you, the application of these standards being done fairly and consistently happens each and every day on the minor projects just as well. And that's when things really shine. When the family comes in, you know, looking to give, you know, a couple lots to their kids, and we go through these approval processes, and there's protections in them, in the process for them as the applicant then. And it works very well, and the people appreciate it. I have to say, it's not anything that people want to hear, but there's protections in the process for the applicant in this instance as well. And it applies to the two-lot or three-lot subdivision, the simple site plan review for the guy who wants to roast coffee down on Route 9 that we approved one night for a very simple project, as well as for these highly charged, very complex project like this one. So
at this point, I think I would entertain a motion from the board to adjourn this until January.
I just respond to things that Jim has raised as issues coincidentally? One is that the planning board was required to give final site plan approval within 45 days of the receipt of final site plan and any related documents. We were strapped by that deadline you called, Jim, last year. That was something we were compelled to do. We had to have final site plan approval. So the 45-day period and such is tied in here. Nothing to do with conditions that might be added to the final site plan approval, which is, again, some reason I think that the construction of the code is getting distorted. The other is that we have a lot of site plan approvals that require building permits. So if someone doesn't get their building permit, the question is, does that their site plan not begin approval period for construction not begin to run either until they've applied to MAP for a building permit? What's the difference between a DEC permit and a building permit? Everything gets fuzzy. And as a planning board member, I need to understand what kind of wrench is thrown into the system. And if it could respond, that would be great.
And I don't mean to say this if too loudly, because when is just as important. If and when we get to that point, that's when we need to discuss those things. Now, we need to discuss the issue of standing.
Yeah.
We're feeling that you want a period of time to research this and decide. As I said, I won't be here in January, so I don't know whether you want to do it earlier than that or you want to wait till January. There's four very competent numbers right there that will decide. And I feel complete confidence in the board members that they will handle it quite well. So, is that satisfactory to adjourn to January? So, do we have a motion?
I'll make a motion to adjourn this till January.
Regular January meeting.
Regular January.
Third meeting.
That is the fourth Wednesday of the month. That's the case each and every month.
I'll second that motion.
Would you pull the board?
Yes. Man. Mr. Farrell.
Yes.
Mr. Ellis?
Yes.
Mr. Endel?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
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 Talk about you. Oh, yeah.
Matt, sorry.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you.
Now, listen, I want to thank the group here for being very courteous